The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings, set off for a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when this son of yours returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are always here with me, and all I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. There's an essential structure to the Lenten season. The first 2.5 weeks, from Ash Wednesday until today, we focus on the conversion God wants of us. Beginning tomorrow with the Gospel of the Samaritan Woman and a focus on water, we begin an intensive re-examination of baptism. And then at the very end of Lent, we start to look at the precise prophecies of Christ's own sufferings and the historical events that led to his passion, death, and resurrection. And so after 2.5 weeks, it's a great opportunity for us to say, have we just been coasting along during these first few weeks of Lent? Or have the graces that God has wanted to give us to bring about a true and deep conversion hit oil? Today, the real climax of this Lenten phase of conversion happens with the parable of the prodigal son. is the greatest parable about our need for God's mercy and how God, as Pope Francis loves to say, never tires of extending his mercy on us and can't wait to give it to us. Both of these sons desperately need God's mercy. Most of the time when we think about this parable, we think about the bad son and the good son. But neither son really related to his father the way God the Father wants to be related to. Let's begin with the more famous younger son. What was his essential sin? His essential sin wasn't wasting his father's money on a dissolute life. His essential sin was treating the father as if he were dead. When do we get our inheritance? Only when our parents die. And so he went to his father and said, "Give me now what'll come to me when you croak, old man." It's that gross. The father, out of kindness, probably knowing this was the only way he was really going to be able to help his son, said, "Okay." And the son went away and wasted it all. He hit rock bottom and in fact wanted to sink even deeper. He had nothing to eat. And so he hired himself out and he was sent to care for the pigs. The pigs were an unclean animal for a Jew. Really couldn't come into their presence without being ritually impure. To long for what they were eating was to show how low he had sunk. There's no real analogy for us as Christians, save if it were possible that we would have to go and care for the baby demons. That's what we're talking about. That's how low he had sunk. But then finally God gave him, when he had hit that rock bottom, the grace of conversion. Sort of. He came to his senses, the text says. And he said, "My father's at least good. He treats his slaves well. I'll go back with imperfect contrition," we call, just a sadness, a sorrow over the state that our sins have brought us to, "and just say, treat me as one of your hired hands." Now, when we hear that expression, we don't really capture the full meaning of it. Slaves were considered members of the family. He was saying, "Treat me less than a slave. Treat me as a hired worker, as a stranger." He still didn't grasp 101 of who his father really was, and that his father would never be able to do that because he had never really appreciated the father's love. But with his rehearsed speech, he starts making the journey home. The father sees him at a distance, and in his sandals, probably at 60, 65 years old, starts booking it out to embrace his son. His son starts to give those rehearsed words. The father interrupts him. He never allows the son to say, "Treat me as one of your hired workers." Would have been unheard of for the father. The father does three things. We'll get to that in a second. Second son, though, is the one about whom this parable focuses. The reason why Jesus gave this parable in the first place were because the scribes and the Pharisees were complaining that tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus rather than rejoicing at the return of these big-time sinners. They were resenting it for the same reasons of envy we would have heard about yesterday when Joseph's brothers betrayed him for 20 pieces of silver and Jesus gave the prophecy of his being betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, both because of envy, a sadness over the blessing God had given to others, even if the blessing were mercy. So when there was a party over the return of the first son, he resented it. He got angry. He got envious. He had never had a young goat to kill to party with his friends, and yet the fatted calf, the most precious animal, had been slaughtered for the younger son who had wasted half the father's inheritance and treated the father as if he were dead. The father came out to plead with him, and we know how that dialogue went. With bitterness, the younger son said, "When this son of yours returned. He couldn't even treat him as a brother. He had no love in his heart. And we can see, too, that he didn't relate to the Father as if the Father were loving, merciful, and real. He treated him as if he were a slave master. Never once did I disobey your orders. We could almost say, Master. Never once. But you never gave me any of this. He didn't understand the Father's heart either. And that was like the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't understand that God had come to bring mercy into the world. And he was intentionally keeping himself out of the feast. You also see a little bit what was going on in his heart. Doesn't tell us what the first son actually did to waste all of the money. Just said he lived a dissolute life. But the older brother says, he wasted all your money with prostitutes. Probably because that's what the older son would have wanted to do if he had treated his father the same way the first son had done. But probably he was too duty-bound that he was afraid even to go down that path. But that's what was in his imagination of how the younger brother would have blown the fortune. Now we come to the real superstar of this parable, who is the Father, who obviously represents God the Father. First he went out, ran out with love to meet that first son. He would have easily been able to say, you're grounded for the rest of your life. He didn't. He restored him to his full dignity as a son. First, even though he was probably covered with pig excrement all over, Father asked for the finest robe in the house to be put on him so that he wouldn't be seen by the nature of his sinful and formerly dissolute life, but that he would be restored with that outer garment, which obviously is meant to be a sign of our baptismal garment. That expression, to put a ring on his finger, was to put the literal signet ring. It was to give him the signature stamp in the ancient world to sign all the checks and promissory notes. It was to basically restore him to the inheritance. And then the sandals are a very important detail. Slaves never had sandals because it would have made it easier for them to escape. It was only sons who had sandals, and sandals were a sign of the freedom to be able to go about as one pleased. The father restored the son to his full dignity. And the father was the one who went out likewise to plead with the second son that he might live according to his full dignity, live according to that love that overflows from the father's brimming heart. Now it comes to us in our own Lenten conversion. Are there pigsties that we're in? Pigsties of envy, pigsties of grudges, pigsties of particular sins, of acquisitiveness, or of lust, or of a desire to control others. God wants to give us the grace to come to our senses, to come back fully into his embrace. Are there parts of our life in which God is dead? For a lot of Christians, we're practical atheists. Sure, we'll pray. We may even start off the day with daily mass. But the rest of the day, we live like everybody else lives, as if God were not really present in the work that we're doing, or in the meals that we're cooking, or in the other activities of our day-to-day life. God wants to come fully alive, wants us to come back, and he wants to, this Lent, restore us to our full dignity as beloved sons and daughters in the Son. He wants us to remember what our real inheritance is, the incredible inheritance of grace, of prayer, of the sacrament, of a Christian life that so often we take for granted. But he also wants us to examine whether we celebrate when there are the great conversions that occur throughout the Lenten season. You know, this last week I was in Alabama and then in Louisiana preaching a retreat and then a parish mission. And it was truly awesome to see how many people came back to the faith during those days. Huge university student center. And the way some of the kids were amazed at how their colleagues who had lived lives that they knew weren't according to the gospel were being brought back to the mission making confessions, coming out with tears of their eyes, being restored, spending time in Eucharistic adoration, and all the rest. But there's always that part of us, when we're really attracted to sin, that resents that type of behavior. Oh, sure, this person goes and has some fun and now is restored to exactly where I am, and we can regret it. Why? Because we still haven't yet grasped at an existential level that the Christian faith is all about love. And when we keep the Ten Commandments, that isn't 10 straitjackets. Those are 10 means by which we love for real. The living according to the Christian faith is a joy, not a burden. And it's only when we treat the faith like a burden that we can begin to behave like the scribes and the Pharisees and like the older brother. Today, at the end of this 2.5-week initial phase of Lent, God wants to give us that conversion too if we need it. And the greatest way that He does is by throwing a banquet for us, not with the fatted calf, not even with a young goat, but with His own Son, the Lamb, looking as if He has been slain, who was the one who went to find us when we were in those pig pits, the ones who came out of the house searching for us in order to be able to bring us home, so that we might join in that celebration here in this life and forever in heaven. Let us come to our senses and come all the way back to that embrace of the Father in the very person of His Son, whose body and blood we now prepare to receive. Praise be Jesus Christ.